starting off, we're going to have an update because fuck you, Anthony, you're wrong. And I know he's going to listen to this.
Welcome to This Week in MTG with your hosts, Matt, Danny, Anthony, and Big G.
Hello and welcome, Magic Folk, to episode 201 of This Week in MTG, your Igniot News podcast for all things Magic the Gathering. We're your hosts. I'm Matt. There's Danny and his dinosaur.
What's up?
And you just got the OG crew here. No just Anthony, no Garrett's, because they are enjoying their Labor Day by not working even on a podcast. So kudos to them. And hopefully all that listen to this enjoy the fact that we had a Labor Day episode for y'all. We'd like to take a moment at the top of this episode to extend a heartfelt thank you to all of you dedicated listeners of the podcast. Your unwavering support and enthusiasm for the show is truly inspiring to us. We are grateful for the opportunity to bring you the latest updates, insights, and discussions from the world of Magic each week. Your engagement and passion drives us to continue delivering top-notch content. Here's to many more episodes of shared excitement and community in the realm of Magic the Gathering. Thank you. That was a ChatGPT update.
I was wondering who wrote that, because that's definitely not your wording.
That is not my word. ChatGPT, baby. Making us sound very professional here. Furthermore, we'd like to express our deep appreciation to the patrons of This Week in MTG. Their generous contributions directly contribute to the success and the continued growth of the show. Their commitment allows us to maintain the quality of our content, explore new avenues to enhance the podcast experience, and pays for the packs and cards for the monthly giveaways. Their support isn't just financial, it's a testament to the strong bond that unites us as fellow MTG enthusiasts. Thank you for being an integral part of the podcasting journey and for helping us bring the magic to life with each episode. I'll give you one guess who wrote that.
Not you.
Not me, baby. Thank you, ChatGPT. So, big, ginormous thank yous to Wade97, Amu the Fox, Noah, Slade, Nikki, No Modifier, Jacob, Christian, Maddie K, Barra, Chimera, Casey B, Taylor M, Ricky R, Chris O, Coco, and the obligatory Check Out the Aquarium Guys podcast, Chapman, Ranger Dan, and Crazy Mage. We appreciate each and every one of your beautiful faces. If you are entertained by or are enjoying the content that we are producing, you don't have to be a Patreon to support us. Go to the podcast app that you're using right now to rate and review us. That helps us tremendously because those forms of interaction elevate us on the recommendation charts for other Magic players to find. But easily, my favorite way that you can support us is just by word of mouth. Just by telling your friends, your playgroup, your LGS rival about us is awesome enough. Now, we would be remiss if we didn't mention our LGS sponsor, J-Dubs Sports Cards and Gaming. Let's hear an ad from them now.
J-Dubs Sports Cards and Gaming, located in West Acres Mall in Fargo, is your one-stop shop for all your Magic the Gathering needs. In the store, you will find a huge selection of sleeves, playmats, and dice for you to personalize your battlefield with. Along with having a large variety of singles in their display cases, there are also binders and boxes for you to browse through. That much selection means that you will always find something you are looking for. J-Dubs is also the place to gather to play a wide array of formats with friends in the community. There is Commander League on Thursday nights, Modern League on Saturday afternoons, and Legacy Leagues on Sunday afternoons. And who can forget Friday Night Magic every Friday evening? J-Dubs has it all, Amonkhet to Zendikar and ways to sleeve, shuffle, and spell sling. Now let's get back to the episode.
Thank you, J-Dubs, for supporting us. Now, with all that podcast business out of the way, let's move to the episode's breakdown where we lay out what you're going to hear on this week's episode. Starting off, we're going to have an update, because fuck you, Anthony, you're wrong. And I know he's going to listen to this. Then we're going to move over to the Boggle Desk, which in my whole stuff here, I didn't get an event results. And do you have a salt report for the week?
No.
I didn't play much Magic either, so
I didn't play any. So
maybe we'll pull up something here, or we'll just continue on with the news. From there, we're going to talk about upcoming events like Vegas. The Fall Brawl League is returning for us here at This Week in MTG. Then we're going to move to the news, where we're going to touch on the arena renewal happening tomorrow slash today, depending on when you're listening to this. Then the WPN metrics returning. The stolen cards from Gen Con have been recovered. Some new stuff happening on Modo called the Deck Brewers Pass. And then we're going to be talking about the Tokyo 30th celebration for Magic the Gathering, which is very interesting. From there, we'll move to the Counter Currency, where we play everyone's favorite game, the Weekly Winners game. And then after that, we'll be done. Y'all can go home. And we'll see you next week. So
yeah. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So let's start this off. Anthony, I know you're listening to this like after it comes out. You were wrong about the Beatles and Grimm, the order of which ones came out. You said that the Here Be Dragons came out before the Kamigawa Backpack, which is proven incorrect. First note of the first articles about the Beatle and Grimm Kamigawa was released on December 10th, 2021. Leading up to Kamigawa, and the Baldur's with Baldur's Gate, which is the Here Be Dragons, which is when that was announced for, was with Battle for Baldur's Gate, not with the original AFR. So I just wanted to like put that correction in there to any of the listeners, but more importantly, Anthony. I was going to do it with him right here, but you know, now I can't because he didn't show up tonight. Kamigawa did come out before the Here Be Dragons. Also, speaking of, this one was a cool thing to see when I was looking up some information about this. Oh, did I put it on the other tab? I did not put it on the other tab. Nope, I did. Right now, currently, over not sponsored by Beatles and Grimm's, Beatle and Grimm's clearly, because you know they don't know who we are. Matthew Lillard, get at us. If we could actually work with Matthew Lillard, holy shit. Holy shit, I would lose my damn mind. But anyways, currently, the Platinum Edition, which is the Kamigawa backpack that has the sleeves, the binders, the tanuki, the little ogre demon head, is on sale for $299. So $200 off. And then the Silver Edition, which doesn't come with the backpack, the tanuki, and a couple other things, is $119. Honestly, for like $300, I'd probably buy that backpack because that backpack looked fucking sick. I'll make sure to link that down below. But yeah, let's go over to the event results here. We want to talk about...
I didn't really see anything. Did the goldfish have anything?
Well, I know this last weekend was the...
it was Moto Finals.
Yeah, Moto Finals.
That was the 26th, so that would have been last weekend. But two weekends ago.
But there was SCG Columbus... Not Columbus. Yeah, SCG Columbus this last weekend, which had a bunch of Pioneer and Modern events.
What was there?
Yeah, let's see if they're up on Goldfish, or maybe we'd have to go to Melee to see that.
Oh, it's Melee. Not sure if the results are in, though.
As soon as the computer loads here. Very slow. Here we go. Okay, so feature tournaments. Yeah, it's very possible this stuff is not up here. Let's look at the big one here. Want to talk about... Yeah, they're all ended. So we got a Legacy, a Classic, Constructed, Pioneer, plus... Let's do this. Do you want to do Modern, or do you want to do Pioneer? Which one do you think, Danny?
I don't know. You choose. Don't mind me.
I think last week we did Pioneer, so let's do Modern this week.
Sounds good.
And...
No deck list.
Yeah, no deck lists on this one. So probably not up.
No.
Bump, bump.
They took Monday off.
I mean, that is fair. That is very fair. So this weekend had...
had Magic, but we have no idea what the results were.
We could talk about a Modern challenge that happened yesterday. See what decks were doing well. So yeah, let's do that.
Magic GG.
I'm on the Moto one right here. I'll post it right there. Okay, so, well, thank you for listening to us as we were trying to figure out what event results to talk about, and we settled on the Moto Challenge from this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
First place, the Demir One Ring deck, piloted by Eris, and the deck.
So this, I don't think this is by that. Because if you go by the bracket, Arius lost in the first round.
They did. Okay. So the deck lists here, the winning convention, the winning naming is not correct.
Right. So it looks like a Tarkoom actually took first. According to the bracket, they have him labeled fifth place, but he was playing Tron.
Classic Tron. Not much really to write home about.
No.
Except for a main board Thragtusk.
Four of the One Ring.
Yep, that one's starting to become pretty standard in the build now of Tron. But yeah, I think the most exciting thing is just seeing a single copy of Thragtusk in the main and moving to three Dismember in the mains as well, instead of relegating them to the side as where they would typically be, you know. But yeah, you got your Karn Liberated, or Karn the Great Creator sideboard tutor package going there.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing else special about Tron. Moving on. What was the second place one then, Danny?
Looks like it was Nahul 10, which would be
labeled third place
in Omnath, that. Locus of Creation deck.
Yes. The things about this one, it's the One Ring with Omnath.
Mm-hmm.
Much to the chagrin, I think, of a lot of other Magic players, where they're saying the One Ring doesn't necessarily fit in the Omnath deck. Nahul clearly did pretty good enough to go to second place in this challenge with the One Ring in this Omnath deck.
Right.
And it's not like an elemental deck. It's just Omnath. The only elemental-ish piece that adds to it is Nissa Resurgent Animus, the one that came out in Aftermath that has landfall. You get to add a mana, and then if it's the second time this ability to resolve, reveal cards on the top of your library to reveal an elf or an elemental, put it in your hand, and the rest at the bottom of your random order. So it hits Solitude, Furies, and Omnaths there.
Mm-hmm.
A single Elish Roar, Mother of Machines to double up on those ETB triggers. Other than that, it's, you know what you would expect from an Omnath deck. Renin 6, Teferi Time Raveler, just getting all your lands and Leyline binding the shit that you don't want to see.
I don't know, that Four of Deleted Halfling, though.
Oh, yeah.
Tap it, use it to cast. Legendary, can't be countered.
Yeah, cast Omnath and makes it not get countered, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
By, let's see, what are the counter spell, but typically people are using like Force Indication. Doesn't get countered by Subtlety either, which is kind of important, so yeah. Then third place is?
Probably it'd be, was it Dwan Matt? Because he went 2-1 against, or he went 1-2 against Nahul.
Okay.
Where Peter went 0-2.
Okay. Well, Dwan Matt was playing the ever so favorite Rakdos Scam deck. Orcish Bowmaster, Regavan, full four Regavan, which is kind of a surprising thing. They deemed that Orcish Bowmaster meta, it was kind of petering out. So now is the time to be using Regavans. But it has the Douthi Voidwalker grief ways to just hit your opponent's hand, rip it apart. There are full playset of Thoughtseize here. Sideboard wise, very interesting to see Hidetsugu consumes all in the side here. This one I remember I was very hyped about when Kamigawa came out. It's the saga that destroys each non-land permanent with mana value 1 or less. Chapter 2, Exile Old Graveyards, and then it flips over into Hidetsugu that gets bigger every time it attacks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really the sexiest thing in there. Maybe a cast into fire. But next one.
Fourth place would be Peter 780108.
That Pita is labeled eighth place in this list, and they are running Yawgmoth combo here. Nothing too extravagant out of this one. It's pretty straightforward. The Delighted Halflings, Orcish Bowmasters, Endurance, Gilded Goose, Yawgmoth, clearly, and stuff. Grists, and Eldritch, a single Eldritch Evolution, and four Court of Calling. Really nothing to write home about this. It seems pretty, pretty stock for it. If anything, right. Maybe the Elven Chorus in the sideboard is the spicy card here. It is three and a green, came out in Lord of the Rings. You may look at the top card of your library anytime. You may cast creature spells from the top of your library. Creatures you control have tap at one mana of any color.
There you go.
Yeah. And the next one would be...
I don't know. That could be the top toss-up because Olivanti went 1 and 2. Arius went 0 and 2. Double Strike 2 went 0 and 2. And Amantes went 1 and 2.
All right, we'll just start with Olivanti then. We'll just go in order from the top to the bottom. Olivanti was running Teemer Rhinos here. Having Shardless Agents, Violent Outbursts, going into casting the ever-so-lovely Crashing Footfalls, running the Lorien Reveal, Dendgon, Fire and Ice as ways, split cards to pass the cascading text. Mm-hmm. The one card that is picking up in popularity is Flame of Anor in this deck, which is from Lord of the Rings. Red, blue, one instant, choose one. If you control a wizard, as you cast this spell, you may choose two instead. Target player draws two cards, destroy target artifact. Flame of Anor deals 5 damage to target creature. Mm-hmm. The thing about this is you don't have any wizards in here outside of in the sideboard. I think they typically have. No, they don't have the one of the moon, Magus of the Moon. There's no Magus of the Moon in the main. So yeah, this way has no way to make a wizard until you look into the land base where there are two Mutavaults. When you activate a Mutavault, it's a 2/2 with all creature types and becomes a wizard. So essentially for 4 mana, you get to cast the two parts of Flame of Anor here. And they are determining that to be powerful enough for the Rhinos deck.
Hmm.
And then next in the list is Arius.
Yep. Blue, black, Murktide.
Yeah. As I was mentioning before, it has 4 One Rings, it has 2 Murktides, 2 Snapcasters. Fun fact, Snapcaster, I really think, is the better pick, the better pair up with Flame of Anor, because it's a wizard and stuff. So you cast Snapcaster, if the Flame of Anor is in your graveyard, you automatically get both abilities there. I mean, it does cost 1 more mana, in that case, 1 more blue. I don't know.
Hmm.
But you have a better... I want Snapcaster to be good in Modern. That's all I want. 4 Fatal Push, Archmage's Charm, Force of Negation, Counterspells, Shieldred's Edict. They're playing the full 4 Preordained, so it's like...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then in the sideboard, it's really hard to say like what is kind of the spiciness. Maybe the Stone of Erich, which came out in Lord of the Rings. I mean, Lord of the Rings we're going to be talking about here for a hot minute. Excuse me. Colorless legendary artifact. If a creature an opponent controls would die, exile and instead pay 2, tap, sack it, exile target player's graveyard, draw a card. Interesting.
So you exile your own card, your own graveyard. So obviously Murktide.
Yeah, that's good. And it's a one mana artifact.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. Then it's a double strike and then a manatees to finish it off here. So double strike was playing. Oh, snap. Talk about a blast from the past here. We have Heliod combo making it up in here.
There we go.
Danny, very hyped about this one. So it has the typical Heliod, the Sun Crown, Walking Ballista, Arbor Elf, Spike Feeder. If you don't know, like the combo here is Heliod, Sun Crown. Because it's been so long since we talked about Heliod combo. Heliod, Sun Crown out. Whenever you gain life, you put a +1 counter on a creature or an enchantment you control. Paired with Walking Ballista, which the relevant part is remove a +1 counter from Walking Ballista. It deals damage to any target. You give that lifelink with Heliod, and then you just remove a counter and just ping infinitely.
Yep.
And that is it. That's Danny combo that he enjoys a lot right there. You got that but, in your...
Soul Sister deck.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is his deck, their deck is turn too slow.
For what, just like ramping out?
So the Heliod combo can be turn 4.
Yep.
This one, I don't see how it is turn 4.
Yeah, since they only have 2 Walking Ballistas.
Not even that. It's they don't have... So what's giving them... So the reason I'm saying turn 4... So with my deck, I play Soul Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Or Johnny's Awakening. So whenever a creature enters my battlefield, I gain a life. While you have... One of the Soul Sisters out, or Johnny's Welcome, play Heliod turn 3, And then Walking Ballista, you can play for two on turn four. Enters with one token on it, or one counter on it. Then you have Ajani's Waking, or one of the Life Gainers triggers. Helia triggers, putting on Walking Ballista. With the other two that you use, give lifelink to Walking Ballista and go infinite.
I think maybe the way they're doing this is like Spike Feeder themselves. Like they're just going for infinite life and then finishing with Walking Ballista, since maybe they got four copies of Spike. That's why they got four copies of Spike Feeder. Because you remove a plus one counter from it, you gain two life. That triggers Helia to put a plus one counter on it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just...
So you gain infinite life that way on turn four, and then you just, you know, go until you draw a Walking Ballista. You can Elodomeries call into a Walking Ballista. You don't want to collect companies into a Walking Ballista. So it's like hard to say, I guess, actually there.
But it's the fact that, yeah, Spike Feeder works, but either you're playing this turn four, I suppose you have Arbor Elf, whatever, to get land, but it just seems to be kind of a slow way of doing it.
I mean, I suppose
Delighted Halfling allows you to do it, but
yeah, there's.
I might actually have to play a Delighted Halfling in there instead of
Llanowar Elf, or
no? I have the Ignoble and I have the High Arcs.
Okay. Yep.
But I also play Infect in my deck, so that's why those guys are great. Because like, hey, I got three of them. Well, my elf is now dealing four damage and infect,
which is very scary. I do love infect. And then the final one was Manatees, which is playing Living End, the other Cascade deck.
Yep.
I don't know what there is to say about this deck than, you know, previously that we had.
Stock.
Yeah, it's very stock, even in the sideboard.
Not stock, just meta.
Yeah, meta. There we go. I like that better. So, yeah, there you go. There is your event results for the Modern Challenge there. So, upcoming events. I forgot to highlight this one. You want to take the first one there, Danny?
Sure. So, MagicCon Las Vegas is just around the corner this month on the weekend of September 22nd through the 24th. We have talked about this a lot since this is announced, but a quick refresher for what is going down at Vegas. We have the return of the Pro Tour will
culminate.
There we go. Some words are just hard.
I got you,
boo. In Magic World Championships, that is, 49?
Yes. Yeah. Is it 49?
Yeah.
I thought X's it was 29. 29s are 10s, right?
I suppose, yeah, 29. Never mind. I suppose it can't be 49 because Magic's only 30 years old. Oh, we're just going in the future, guys. The best of the best from this season will be playing in 6 rounds of Wilds of Eldraine draft and 8 rounds of Standard between Friday and Saturday, with Sunday being the top 8 battle for the title of the World Champion. There will be coverage over on twitch.tv/magic. Aside from the Worlds, there will be loads of events from attendees to participate in, like the newly added 100K Limited Open. The endless panels, like the coveted preview panel or the Secret Letter Presents, the
redacted.
I was wondering why you had it bracketed. Or is that how it was?
That's how it is.
Okay. Okay, that panel. Artist Alley, where you can meet your favorite artists, get cards signed, or even enter in so many side events like Secret Lair Showdown and try to win that sick-looking Brainstorm. Two events that we want to bring your attention to. First, Community Panel Room with Gavin Verret. This is going to be a panel where you can create new cards to be played in future unknown events at MagicCons. Important to note on this, the details state, quote, attendees will be required to sign a release form before entering. ... End quote. Next event we want to bring your attention to is the official MagicCon Las Vegas Slumber Party, There's No Rest for the Wicked. This is a dance party that is going down Saturday, September 23rd, with DJs Wooden Wisdom, Elijah Wood, and Zach Coy. That's about it for updates about MagicCon Las Vegas. There are still tickets available to purchase for any packages except for the Black Lotus VIP.
Yeah, I was excited to hear about that, the community panel there. If anybody's going to that Gavin Verhey one to help make cards for the next unknown event, that'd be cool. I'd love. You're signing a release form. As soon as the release form is done, we got to get you on, like, reach out. We'd love to chat with you.
But that's the thing. They won't be able to talk about it
until it gets released.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
so that's probably not going to be, we're not going to be talking to them until like 2024 some time.
They should make a card. This is words are hard.
If you're going, make that a thing. Like, toss in some This Week in MTG references.
Yep.
That would be fabulous. And yeah, I just thought it was also cool that Elijah Wood is coming back for DJing and stuff. Like, clearly he enjoyed the first time at Barcelona there and had to bring him to the States. So get ready to see Frodo throw down. Was he Frodo or is he Bilbo?
He was Frodo.
Okay, good. I got it.
Bilbo is the old guy.
The one that it strikes out.
Bilbo is his uncle.
There we go.
Or his, uncle, not his father. Or his grandfather. Can't remember. Anyway.
The next upcoming event, the amazing Cardfather himself, No Modifier, from the Discord, has announced his newest event, the Fall Brawl 2023. The Brawl will be a 100-card friendly brawl on Arena and is free to enter for anyone. All you gotta do is join our Discord, links down below, and mention to Nomad in the Fall Brawl chat that you want to be part of this kick-ass event, and then you will get added to the roster. Fall Brawl will begin September 18th and go until September 30th. This is going to be a round-robin event, and the prizes are going to be plentiful. The prize packs are going to be an assortment of any kind of packs. First place gets 8, second gets 6, third receives 4, and everyone else who just plays in the event gets 2 packs sent to you just because we love you. Oh, and just like the last time, there will be headhunting prizes if you defeat any of us podcast hosts. And those are going to be a surprise, though. You will like them, we think, so get in the Discord, and if you're not yet, sign up. And Danny, I'm going to be talking to you about the prizes for the headhunting
prize. I might be just rolling dice, like, hey, pick a number. Evens or odds, I roll dice. If you get it, I'll let you know if you win or not immediately.
Fucking no. Throw down with your brawl.
I'm playing 2 matches and just drop.
2 and drop.
Mm-hmm.
0-2 drop.
There you go.
The classic. But speaking of classic, I think that puts us over into the news. Want to take us away there?
Sure. So with Arena being still trash site or software. Beginning this week's news, we're going to quickly cover some Arena updates, starting with Arena Renewal is happening tomorrow, September 5th, for those who are listening to the recording on Twitch or YouTube on Monday nights around 7 p.m. Central Time, which you should. 2 things of note with Renewal is, first, the Renewal Egg, quote, at this point, players will see the Renewal Egg on their profile screen. This is both a reminder that rotation is coming up and a package containing some special rewards that will help kick off the new Magic year. Hovering over the egg will show you how much time is left until rotation, when the egg will open. Log in before rotation to make sure you get your renewal egg. End quote. The renewal egg rewards players with 10 ICR consisting of 5 rares from non-rotating sets, 4 rares, and 1 mythic from Wilds of Eldraine. So if you're listening to the podcast after September 5th and you haven't logged on to Arena for a while, you missed out on Renewal Egg, and the egg is sad, as Matt would say. Otherwise, everyone else should be good. Next thing to bring up is rotation. This year's standard rotation will not have any sets rotating out because WotC announced back in May that standard is going to have a 3-year rotation schedule. Now meeting cards from Inside Midnight Hunt going forward are legal in standard. We talked about that in an article back in May, so go give that episode a listen for full details. The Arena format of Alchemy, which is trash, is not that lucky. We will be rotating out, and the new sets that are legal in Alchemy will be Dominaria United Forward, are legal in Alchemy. That's kind of redundant, Matt.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a good editor.
we've talked about this in that same episode, so you can really go give it a listen. I'm sorry, Alchemy is still a trash format.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you there.
It's I will stand with this. It's Watsy's play of like, hey, we didn't playtest these cards originally, so we're just doing it now.
Yeah, we haven't talked about any of the Alchemy like cards that have been like reset for a while, and I know that there's a handful of them. Maybe we got to get on that. The thing is like none of us play Alchemy, and I'm pretty sure there's only maybe only like two in the Discord that play Alchemy, and it's like right. Sorry for y'all. Kudos to you for your dedication to wanting to play Alchemy.
Yeah,
I mean, Alchemy is definitely a thing. With the Fall Brawl League, you can play Alchemy cards on there since it's
please don't.
Nomad, he's a big fan of playing some of those ones. And boy, howdy, let me tell you, when one gets cast against me, it's like, hold on a second. This is a card. Now I got to fucking read it.
Right. Yeah. So that's another thing. It's like Alchemy is allowed in Historic.
Yes.
It doesn't make sense.
Because Historic is Alchemy. So the only places. Yeah. I don't know. Historic, you got Explorer, which does not have Alchemy cards. And that's like the format that I play on Arena. And that's like it, because then you don't have to deal with Alchemy cards. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, anything else like Alchemy, Historic, those have Alchemy cards. And then Brawl.
See, well. I only played Historic when I actually did play, because I played Historic Ranked. But because that was the closest thing to Pioneer.
And now you got Explorer, which I think we mentioned last week or the week before. They're planning to have Pioneer fully on Arena by 2024 as a quick mention. So
now here's the follow-up question of that. Are they going to make a marketplace for individual singles, which they should, if they're going to do, hey, we got Pioneer now, but you have no chance of actually getting your deck unless you want to spend thousands of dollars on packs that you have no idea what you can get.
It sounds like you just answered your question there, Danny. That's what's going to happen. Maybe.
I stand on my statement from earlier. Arena is trash.
I do hope that at some point, maybe they do come around and work on an improved dusting system, like which was proposed by the community multiple times. Maybe we'll, before Pioneer comes out, we'll get another like Arena economy system chat with Blake Rasmussen and not Mike Turian. Who's the guy that's in Chris something or another? I can't remember his name, but he's in charge of like Arena and stuff. Go listen to that first Arena economy talk. We talked about it on the podcast, and it seemed like a big slap in the face to a lot of Magic players there. Nobody was necessarily happy about that. So hopefully maybe we'll get an economy update. It would be nice to like have improved dusting where, you know, you can like dust for more, and the duplicate protection when it comes to like reprints of cards, like the whole duress debacle and the scry lands, where it's like, I already got my playset of scry lands. Why am I still opening these fucking things?
Right.
And Arena is like, it doesn't matter.
But that's the thing. So if you're going to update the dust system while we're already getting, if we already have our four copies, then everything is dusted automatically. So you can say like, well, I'm just going to dust everything that I don't ever use. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's the thing. So it's like, you're not a black player, so I want to dust all of my duresses, all of my Thoughtseizes. I'm not going to be using those like at all. So that way it could build you up to like more wild cards accordingly. Like, you know, like a common would dust for like a quarter of a count towards a wild card. And then like a common would be a full, and then a rare could be two or whatever. Whatever kind of a thing is like what people have proposed as like a dusting system, to where you get rid of cards that you don't want to use. But then, you know, yeah, there's that. Will there ever be like a marketplace? Nah. If you want a marketplace, go to Modo.
Right.
And we got some pretty exciting news about Modo coming up in a bit. That would have been a nice segue if it lined up the other way.
But then it just brings up like if you don't want to play Arena because it's a trash marketplace, don't bring Pioneer to it. Because people are going to want that marketplace.
Well, you see, I think people are going to go to Pioneer on Arena, and it's going to be good for WotC because they're going to be like, I want to play Pioneer. I'm just going to have to keep buying these packs. The fact that they're going to be coming out with like Pioneer's Masters.
Yeah, I know people are still going to buy packs and just give WotC their money, but it's the fact that it's a bad market or bad business practice. Like, hey, we're just gonna better choice awards, but fuck over our people who are our customers and just say, oh, nope, screw you. You just gotta buy packs now, rather than buying singles that you want.
They're saying they want gamblers without saying they want gamblers.
Right. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I'm a gambling addict, clearly, because I play this game. I believe all of us have a little bit of a gambling addiction if we play this game.
Oh, for sure. But if I'm buying packs, I'm buying physical packs, not digital packs that I never going to use.
Yeah, yeah. So, speaking of packs, we got Chris saying, loving the new overlay. Thank you. Thank you. I hope that people enjoy it. And hopefully it stays fancy like this for a bit. But next up, we have an update on the $300,000 worth of cards stolen from Gen Con at the beginning of August. In an article from ICV2.com, it says, quote, these cards were allegedly pilfered from the Gen Con vendor area before the convention opened August 1st and were recovered with assistance from the New York State Police. The Indianapolis Metro Police Department also released a statement that they are no longer looking for the two persons of interest, Thomas Dunbar and Andrew Persons Guillaume. They have been in contact with their attorneys, and the Marion County Prosecutor's Office is expecting to file charges. I mean, with that kind of money stolen, everyone hopes that a file is going to get charged.
Well, yeah. Where are they from?
So from what it seems like, the people who stole the cards are from New York, since New York State Police are now involved.
Yep. And where was this stolen from?
Indianapolis.
So Indiana. It's a felony.
Yeah. That's crossing.
Of multiple counts.
Yeah, crossing state lines there with $300K worth of goods.
Well,
Not looking good for those.
The stealing of the $300,000 worth of product is a felony. Crossing the state lines is a felony. And I'm sure there's a few other ones too. It's like,
I think we talked about it on the episode when it first got announced, but how stupid they were that they didn't have like any facial protection and stuff.
Right.
Like, and they had their like a game store on their shirt. So it's just like, do you know these faces? And then they found them. I can't confirm if Thomas Dunbar and Andrew Pearsons are the people in there, but since the Indianapolis Metro Police Department said that they're no longer looking for two persons of interest, I don't know if that's the case, but maybe since they named them, it's like they are, and they're not looking for them because they've been caught.
Yeah, but I have no idea.
The legalese of that is, I don't know, going over our heads here. We're not this week in lawsuits, but boy howdy, it's just good to know that they've been caught, and how fucking stupid. I mean, it's one of those, as we mentioned before, the brilliance is in the simplicity of it. The fact that they just walked in with a fucking pallet jack and took that shit. Nobody fucking questioned that.
Yeah,
shit.
Thomas Dunbar and Andrew Pearsons are the people that were.
They are? Okay.
They are.
Confirmed. Okay, so they're not looking for them because they're found.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. That's that. That's where that bit comes in there. But yeah. Goddamn. Now, to all of our MTGO players out there, I'm excited to hear your take on this bit of news here. In a weekly update post from Daybreak Games, they announced the arrival of the Deck Brewers Pass. Quote, in a new take on all access that allows unprecedented usage of the newest cards in service of one goal, figuring out what cards you want to focus on collecting across all of MTGO. So essentially, you'll have access to every card in Modo with this pass. The Deck Brewers Pass will only be live for about a week, starting the morning of September 5th, tomorrow, until Wednesday, September 13th at 10 a.m. Pacific time, and it'll cost you $20. So a player who purchases this token will get access to almost every card on Modo, with the exception of Secret Lair versions, Transformer cards, and card variants, which are not cards that you can use with the pass. Examples that they gave were like the oil slick lands that you could get in bundles. Like, those can't be used under this pass and stuff. And now, we got to hear from you, all the Modo players out there. What do you think of this? There's been a lot of talk online. First off, a lot of talk of Daybreak Games doing a good job of taking over from WotC, of maintaining Modo there since their, was it like March? Beginning of the year, I think Daybreak took over for Modo there. We talked about it on one of the episodes before. Ask me to remember dates when we talked about something. Hard to do, but I do remember we talked about it. But yeah, Daybreak Games pretty much came over, and they're the ones that are handling everything like this. Events, cards getting added, and the treasure chests. People online, they play a lot of Moto, so like pro players and stuff, they're liking this. They think that this is a good kind of way to like, you know, get more players, a more potential rapid all-access pass. Because if I'm not mistaken, I think the all-access pass only happened like once a year.
And so, I have no idea. So never played Moto.
So maybe with the Brewers Pass, we're going to start seeing like more of these, get access to all these cards so that way you can play with them for that week. And the plus side is like streamers are going to be brewing up a lot of different things there. And yeah, so also those who of you who do not play Moto, a question to you. Will this make you want to try out Moto? Get in touch with us on social media or by joining the Discord and hitting us up there.
Not to shit on Moto, but if you want a deck, like deck brew, just use Moxfield.
There's that. Yeah. Moxfield is nice for that.
Shameless plug.
Not yet. Not sponsored, but shameless plug. Hit us up,
Moxfield. That's just where I do all my brewing.
But you know, with Moto, they have a marketplace that is, you know, pretty enjoyed by a lot of Magic players. They don't like the whole...
It's a lot better than Arena.
There's no denying that. Yeah, the whole bot system can kind of get messy, and the fact that like Arena has kind of taken away from like the digital attendance of Moto there, because more people would want to play on Arena than Moto, and so like not as many cards get drafted there. But you got like people that are pulling in cards and stuff. Like that whole economy is its own thing. We don't talk about the Moto economy like at all, because
not really,
because we don't interact with it at all. I do know cards are super cheap. Like Shocklands, they're like $10 or $5 a piece for Shocklands. Even like OG duels, you can get OG duels for like $20 and stuff like that on Moto, because it's digital, and that's how they could get around reprints. That's why we got things like Vintage Master sets on Moto, because that was kind of like their skirt around to do something like that, because it's digital. It's not an actual cardboard. But yeah, let us know. Moto players, do you like this idea? Non-Moto players, is this going to make you want to join Moto? And now, for the next bit here. This one was interesting, I thought. Is the 30th anniversary celebration of Tokyo. I saw this posted up. And we're just going to kind of go through this together here. So if you're watching on the stream, you're going to see that we got the webpage of the Magic the Gathering 30th anniversary celebration in Tokyo behind us. Those not and listening to the episode after it's posted, we'll do our best to describe everything that's going on here. So, quote, 30th anniversary celebration Tokyo will be held to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the original strategy card trading game Magic the Gathering, which has been loved by over 50 million fans around the world since its birth in 1993. I do want to state here really quick that this is Google Translate overlays here, so some things might not necessarily sound correctly. So starting 8:25. Oh, so everything is live right now, but going on forward, there's a museum. Oh, wow. This has been going on for a while?
Yeah, since July.
Oh, Jesus.
July 4th.
I missed this. So, yeah, starting July 4th, the event information outline, various booths have been released. Promo card details have been added. I have seen those promo cards. I think we mentioned those before. So was that the...
The information release was this list. The event doesn't... started on the 1st. And goes until the 10th of this month. So we got another week of it.
Okay.
But the list that we're showing right up top is just the release of information about the event and what stuff is going to be happening.
Gotcha.
So yeah, those are just basically addendums to the event.
Okay, so the venue is going to be at Miyashita Park. Each floor of the Reynard Park, September 1st, Friday through the 10th, 11 to 9 o'clock is when it's going to be going on. Exhibition of cards, original drawing, and successive generations of those cards. World the Guide exhibition, a play lounge, goods shop, etc. A holding area for pop-up space, a studio, and a sai. Not necessarily what that means. But then you also have admission is same day ticket, one day for 1,500 yen, which I think is like $100. Limited advance tickets will...
It's $10.
Oh, it's $10. There we go. There we go.
1023.
Jesus. If you're over in Japan... Christian, you go over to Japan frequently. Are you going to be going there in this time frame here? Are you going to...
within the next week, you go to Japan.
Miyashita Park. One thing I've noticed from here as well, too, is the whole... a rubber wristband. They got like a bunch of cards and stuff that they're going to be showcasing and stuff here. Here we go. Oh my God. There's Treats Original Sticker Presents and then a Tenryu Cafe Shibuya. I'm sorry for slaughtering.
I want
this,
that guys. Chicken curry.
Chicken curry looks so fucking good. Ginger Brute Summer Float Fizz. Food Token Food. Berry Magic Pancake. Oh my God. That looks good. So, let's see. So 1,500 yen was $10. This is probably like nine. It's like seven, and that's like eight for the curry, fizzies, and pancakes, respectively.
It's $8.
There we go. Super cheap. So pickups, they got some new cards that are getting promoted there. Smash Evil, which I think is destroy an artifact, deal 4 damage to... a creature, and then they got a new art for Shivan Dragon Foil. Art by Kota Nakatsubo. Nakatsubo. I'm so sorry, man.
Really, Scryfall's not bringing out Smash the Evil?
Smash the Evil. Oh. It looks like... I think this one came out in Phyrexia Obi-Wan, because that looks like Elspeth smashing a Phyrexian. So I'm going to have to guess that it's destroy an artifact and deal damage to an attacking creature.
Yeah, Scryfall is not even showing up any mono white smash.
Really?
Yep.
Damn. How about mono white evil?
Destroy could... evil, not smash the evil.
Okay. Again, this is translated from... This is Google Translate on the page, because if I turn it off, it's all in Japanese and you could not read.
Yeah, it's destroy evil.
Did it come out in...
Red, a white one... Instant, choose one, destroy target creature with toughness 4 or greater, or destroy target enchantment. And Sierra, that's on the picture.
Oh, okay. So not even close with my guess. So it's not from Phyrexia Obi-Wan?
It's Dominaria United.
Okay,
there DMU. You go.
They got playmats for the art of Destroy Evil and of Shivan Dragon here, as you can see, watching live. The art is like in traditional of the Shivan Dragons done in like traditional
Japanese.
Yeah, it looks very traditional Japanese dragon-esque. They're very intense. And the Destroy Evil is
100% anime.
Yep. The tokens or the card sleeves that you can get there. They got a 30th anniversary card sleeve of Shivan Dragon of Destroy Evil, which is labeled as Crush Evil up here. Smash the evil, crush evil,
destroy evil.
Google Translate, get at it. And then there is a traditional Japanese art of Jason Chandra, kind of like what you'd expect on like Yuki-Iyo style wood stuff and paintings like that.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really cool. And that is going to be probably, what, $15 then? For 1,650 euro?
Probably not.
Or, yen? Yeah.
Think again, Matt. It's 11.26.
11. Jesus.
$12.
$12. That's good. And so, yeah, all those things that you could get is at the pop-up space on North 1F. Stuff looks really cool.
And that's with tax included.
Are we going to Japan for this?
No. Unless you want to buy my airplane ticket.
Let's go. There's going to be a lounge there.
No, I got a golf on Wednesday, potentially, so.
Yeah. Oh, here's the other thing. There's a main exhibit. There's going to be more than 5,000 cards from over the 30-year history of Magic, including valuable cards from the early days, such as Alpha and Power 9, as well as decks representative of each era will be on display. So there's going to be actual Black Lotus, Ancestral Recall, Time Walk, Time Twister, mm-hmm. and all the mocks available at this museum, which would just be a cool thing to see in like Magic history itself. My question is now, like, after this event in Japan, is this going to be like a typical like museum kind of thing where it then like travels to different regions? Like, will we get something like this pop-up museum in the States, do you think?
Probably not.
Because I don't recall seeing that that's going to be something that happens. So one other thing is they got like a bunch of artists there showcasing a lot of their art. One that I'm excited to see is they got Yoji Shinkawa, the artist of Metal Gear, is going to be showing up there with some of his stuff. Hmm. They got Yoshitaka Amo, who famously did the anime Liliana Dreadhorde General from War of the Spark. That's like selling for $6,000 online. Tetsu Hara, who did the Kaito Shizuki manga art from Kamigawa Neon Dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
You also got Junji Ito showing up, and Katsuya Terada. All great artists. And then some War of the Spark artists returning here as well, as notably of Naochika Morasita. Again, I'm so sorry for butchering all these names. And yeah, so these arts are going to... Oh, and the Strixhaven, artists that works on the Strixhaven archive, like Sumi-e artist Okato, who worked on the Demonic Tutor, which is like a $1,000 card, if I'm not mistaken, the Demonic Tutor from the Strixhaven archives. So all that's going to be there. This seems like a great museum event that you can just like check out here.
On which one?
The Demonic Tutor?
Yeah.
The cost of it?
Yeah, which one do you think of?
How much it costs?
Oh, the archive one?
Yeah, the Mythic Archive one. Mystical Archive
$94.
Oh, what's the foil then? That one has to be maybe $1,000 or $900. I thought that...
Well, look.
Like, that's surprising. If this copy, the Mystical Archive, the Japanese Mystical Archive is $90, I would buy that.
Demonic Tutor, Japanese Alternative Art. Normal's $100. But foil, you're looking at freaking hate. Foil's like $236.
Okay, still not too bad. I would actually be picking those up now since they're clearly moving down in price. I remember when that came out, it was like $500.
Right.
But yeah, that's the 30th anniversary celebration going on in Tokyo. They just got like everything cool there. And again, my question is, is this going to be like a traveling museum, like a tour museum? Because it would be so cool if they brought it to, you know, even if it's like the East or the West Coast.
Nope. It's not going to happen.
You don't think so?
Nope. Mm.
It would be cool.
Because it's not going to be in Vegas. Vegas would be the spot to bring it if they're going to bring it here. So they're not going to bring it here because it's not in Vegas.
That's a very solid point. That is a very solid point.
Dan. And this one really is more of a special event to show off the Japanese artists rather than have them travel. It's more of like, hey, come here to their home and
that's very
go
fair.
From there.
So if you do get the chance, if we got any listeners in Japan or any of our listeners heading to Japan during this time, I would love to see some pictures. Like, post them up, share it on us on social. I would love to see that. I'm going to be following this because the shit looks very fucking sick. But, yeah. There we go.
Yeah. Well, on to Conjured Currency, where Matt loses every time.
Yeah. So, moving to the final segment of the podcast, the Weekly Winners Game. We're just going to call it the Weekly Winners Game. I know we're trying to think of something fancy, but...
Matt loses.
Why do that when we just got something simple right in front of us? In this game... I don't read the detailed and informative weekly winners article from the amazing website MTG Stocks, and then I'll be getting a quiz why the cards mentioned in the article are trending this week.
Yep.
So, hit me, Danny.
Okay. So, this week, I'm not going to do a big G intro to this because we all know what the game is and what this site does. And if you don't, check them out. It's MTG Stocks. So first up, we have Fairy Harbinger.
Okay.
Sitting at $4. It's raised 330%. Okay, let my PC. Okay, average is $4. Market's 363. Foil's at 25.75.
Oof.
European average is 49 cents.
There we go. That arbitrage, man.
Okay, this is from Lauren. Lorwyn.
Yeah, Lorwyn.
There we go. Words. Some words are hard. So, Fairy Harbinger, it's blue 3, Fairy Wizard, Flash, Flying. When it enters the battlefield, you may search your library for a fairy card, reveal it, then shuffle your library and put it on top. It's a 2/2.
Okay.
Why is this increasing?
I'm just going to say the fairy decks in Commander, and probably also because if this is a Lorwyn card, I don't know if it's got a reprint. Maybe made one in a secret lair that I just can't think of off the top of my head. But only been printing in Lorwyn, which was, as MTG financiers will know, was at the point of a recession in America, and a lot of people didn't buy packs at that point. So Lorwyn Shadowmoor cards have a premium on them because they didn't get picked up a lot, and they have not been reprinted really since. We're getting more of them reprinted, but Commander, because of fairies, because of Wilds of Eldraine, and probably just extra leverage, and they're saying that it's because it's only been printed once.
You are 95% correct.
Oh, that's so good.
It was on the list.
Fuck.
But yeah, no, it's because of the wild. It's because of the Wilds of Eldraine fairy deck, the Commander deck, and obviously Commander. So, but yeah, you're again 95% correct.
Go me.
So next up we go to Flame of Anor, sitting in 949. It's a 150% increase. Averaging at 841, market's like 683. So it's gone down since Thursday. So like as of right now, it's 841 average. Market's only 683. Foils at 1366. Europe, it's 324.
Jesus.
It is a Lord of the Rings Tales of the Middle Earth card. So that should show you right there. Or limit your selections. So Flame of Anor is red, blue, 1 for an instant. Choose 1. If you control a wizard as you cast a spell, you may choose 2 instead. First option is target player draws 2 cards. Option 2 is destroy target artifact. And option number 3, Flame of Anor deals 5 damage to target creature.
Well, we just talked about this in the event results from the modern challenge there. It's shown up in Team of Rhino's decks as just a piece to add on there, and they pair it with Mutavault. So modern Team of Rhino's locking it in.
Yeah, sort of correct.
What am I missing?
The way they read it, yeah, it's modern, but they were saying it's Crashing Footfalls decks. That are creating the 4/4 rhinos by casting either Violent Outburst or Shardless Agent.
Right. That's Team of Rhinos deck.
Yeah. But yeah, they're just like, oh, Crashing Footfalls. But yes, so you are correct.
Okay. Boom. Yeah, that's the deck that's running. Bring Snapcaster. Make Snapcaster good again. Fuck. Just want Snapcaster.
And they mentioned that is because Snapcaster is a wizard. It gives flame. You just get...
That's what I'm saying, man.
And then the flashback. It's like, hey, well, there you go.
Exactly. Come on, let's see some Snapcaster. Like, does this fit?
I might have to put this in my Is It Snap Gutter Snipe deck.
Yeah, a lot of them are wizards in there. You got a few of them are shamans as well. Is Gutter Snipe a wizard?
Gutter Snipe's a shaman.
Okay, yeah. But Harmonic Prodigy is a wizard.
Yeah, but I don't think I have them in there anymore.
Oh, you don't?
No, I've changed my deck up. But anyways, moving along. Third, we go to fourth, Aerolingus.
Oh, fourth Aerolingus, exclamation point.
Yep. It's sitting at 2186 as of Thursday with a 51% increase. It is currently averaging at 2499, marketing Jesus. At 2010, so it is going up still. Europe is sitting at 1929.
Wow.
Yep. So
that's
that's
impressive to know that Europe is also holding the price there. That, like, on par.
Mm-hmm. So, again, it's from Lord of the Rings. So you have a sorcery for white, red, X. Create X, 2/2 red human knight creatures, tokens with trample and haste. Whenever one or more creatures you control deal damage to one or more players this turn, you become the monarch.
Okay, so
what's your answer, man?
I've been watching a lot of lot of like legacy play and like vintage cube, and that gets talked by like Andrea Mengucci LSV as being like a really good card. And then you also got like Bosch and Roll and Thraben Yu talking about it.
Yep.
But they're all like legacy players.
Okay.
And the only reason why I'm going to say legacy is because like the European average as well is like almost $20. And I know a lot of people like legacy is big in Europe. But I'm not going to, I'm going to be okay with knowing the fact that it was like actually CDH why that's moving up. But I'm going to guess legacy.
So the article says a lot of different formats.
Ah, okay.
So the first format that it mentions is vintage.
Damn it.
Because that is the deck list that they provide.
Okay.
But then they say, they also say legacy builds, like four color control, Jeskai control, or initiative builds. But then they also talk about commander. So you were 100% there 60% of the time.
I do want to say, you got to see a cool interaction with this card on, I think, the latest shuffle up and play with Bosch and Roll. And, oh, God, I can't remember the other guy's name. But he's also a big legacy player.
Okay.
He was playing, like, Delver. Delver with red white in there, and was able to have a flipped Delver and just cast Fourth Aer Lingus for red white, because the second part of the text reads, when a creature you control deals combat damage to an opponent, you become the Monarch. So it's just two mana, swing with your Delver of Secrets, and hit, then you become the Monarch there. And being a Delver deck, you're just boop 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 boop. Was he playing Yorion? Something. He was playing something. He just casted for two and just hit without having to make the tokens.
Nice.
And it was just cool.
Yeah. So the list that they give you is Jeskai Vintage by Lava Ridge. Take a guess on how much this deck is worth.
Well, they're going to have all the fucking dual lands in there. I'm going to say, just because you're making me guess, I'm going to say the higher end of like 6,000.
Not even fucking close.
Is that too low?
Not even close.
12,000.
TCG player, $39,000. Card Kingdom, $71,250.
Well, I guess fair enough.
They have the power 9.
Oh, my guess was really bad.
Yeah, they have the power 9. Yeah, they have Tundra and Volcanic Island for $1,000. But they have Black Lotus for 17,000, Mox Spear for 7,
I guess
Mox Ruby is 55.
This is vintage.
Mox Pearl is 4. Yeah.
39,000 or 49,000?
$39,693.25 on TCG player.
Let me go.
Card Kingdom is $71,552.78.
Let me just go to my piggy bank. I can buy that. I can play this weekend.
I'm going to sell my kidney real quick. But yeah, that's the end of the, I guess, those ones. So moving along to the cheap pickups. First up, we go to Drana and Lavala. It's $3 and it's moving up. So that's the Vampire Angel collab from, what's that?
Aftermath.
Yeah, that's what.
March of the Machine.
Yeah, there we go. And that was brought to you by the MGG Stocks Premium Penny Stocks. Then we go to Jin Kantaxis, sitting at $5.19, slowly moving down. This is the flip one from Aftermath.
Nope, March
or
Machine.
March Machines. Yeah. Why do I keep having Aftermath in my head?
I mean, they're close enough to each other.
They're same set.
They're like 2 weeks off from like when that set came out in Aftermath.
Right. They're just three sheets off.
Yep.
That's all it is. And lastly, we go to Dark Confident, sitting at $13.01, slowly moving down.
This is the Double Masters printing, and boy, how the mighty have fallen there.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say with that Jin Kantaxis, this was like selling for a good, pre-selling for a good long time of like around $30. Set came out, plummeted down to fucking $12 and $11.
Right.
So this was a card people were hyped about. It's a 5-mana 5/5 with War 2, so it's sticky to the board.
Jin Kantaxis initially was all-time high, was $31.18.
There we go.
So yeah, it's dropped a lot.
And let's see, what was Dark Confidants here?
60% or whatever.
All-time high. The double masters of $49. Let's see what the original Dark Confidant was, though. Because that's going to have a longer price history to show if it was higher. And I think it was. $99.85 all-time high original Dark Confidant from Ravnica.
You can get the Judge gift cards for $121.
Yeah, the Judge promos, man, they're just good luck. Those are just fancy. Like, those are always going to hold up in price because they're a Judge promo. There's few of those out in the world, probably like a few hundred.
A couple of handfuls.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the Conjure currency for this week.
Yeah. You know, as we always say, go check out TCG Sniper. They're an amazing price tracking website that you get select cards or products on TCG Player and select to get notified if they're moving up in price or moving down in price. It's a really good tool for someone who wants to be savvy with their money or wants to like turn around and like flip into trends and stuff, you know, like, the Harbinger. I got these fairy Harbingers that I want to like now turn around and flip, but I want to wait a little bit because I feel like they're going to keep moving up from that $4 to like maybe $8. TCG Sniper is the site to be using for that. So if you go over there, sign up, you can sign up for free and you're able to put in like 1550 products for free on their free account. But if you mention the guys that This Week in MTG sent you, you'll get 3 months free of their plus membership, which will give you unlimited ones to enter in. Honestly, it's worth checking out just even for the free account, like make the free account. I use it all the time. You get to see the notifications and stuff pop up in our Discord, what I'm watching and stuff like that. So yeah, go check them out. Now, I think we're at the end of this episode. Do you have anything else you want to add before we hit that outro?
No, other than maybe join our Discord, join the Fall Brawl, so I can just give you the win.
Yeah, join the Discord. The Fall Brawl is going to be fun. Signups go from now until the 18th. It's going to be fun. We got PAX, and I'm excited to tell Danny at the end of this what the Headhunter prizes are for us. So thank you to all you legendary magic folk for making it to the end of episode 201 of This Week in MTG. As we wrap up another episode, we want to extend our deepest gratitude to our incredible listeners and Patreons. Your enthusiasm fuels our passion for all things Magic the Gathering, and we are honored to be part of this vibrant community. Stay tuned for more exciting updates, discussions, and insights in the world of Magic the Gathering. Until next time, may your mana be plentiful and your draws be ever favorable. Keep gathering those magical moments.
You need to stop this Jad TV. God damn it.
It's too fun.
Oh my God.
It's too fun.
But anyways, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Congratulations, you made it to the end of this week's episode of This Week in MTG. Your listenership means so much to us. Make sure to follow the podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or on the podcatcher of your choice. You can watch the live stream recording of the podcast every Monday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time over on YouTube and twitch.com/thisweekinmtg. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can send us a message to our Facebook, Twitter, or send us an email at thisweekinmtg@gmail.com. For all these links and more, check out our link tree at linktr.ee/thisweekinmtg. Thanks so much!
So bad. So bad.
I think it makes it sound very professional.
Oh boy.